Good evening, everyone. Sorry, Kim, are you ready? Okay, and Lisa, are you all set?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. It is Tuesday, October 27th, 2020 at 6 p.m. This is the regular assembly meeting for the city and borough of Wrangell, Alaska. Tonight, the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Assemblymember Powell.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Wow.
One breath.
That was
important. Well, we're getting done with this meeting tonight, right?
Right.
Okay. Under ceremonial matters, we have some certificates of appreciation for our election officials from our municipal election. And we'll be sending out certificates to Sarah Merritt, who is the chairperson, Deanna Reeves, who is the assistant chairperson, Elizabeth Stewart, who was our OJT person from the school, young woman from school that volunteered to help, and Joy Miller, who also assisted with the elections. We really appreciate all of their efforts for running an efficient election this year and navigating the pandemic, the COVID pandemic, and all that that involved to keep everybody safe. So appreciate all those folks. Kim, if you would please make sure that those went out to them, I'd appreciate it.
I will, Mr. Mayor, and I believe there was one for Joy Miller as well.
Yeah, I think I said Joy, did I not?
Oh, okay, sorry.
If I didn't, I apologize. Joy Miller as well.
I think you did too.
Thank you for reaffirming my sanity. We'll get Kim to do the roll call, please.
Yes. Assembly members David Powell.
Here.
Corson.
Here.
Gilbert.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
Ryan Howe is not here. And Deckard. Not here. And Mayor
Prasanka. Present. Just a reminder to all the folks, the assembly folks, take yourself off of mute whenever there's a vote, just so we can move through it quickly and we're not all panicking to find that unmute button. Kim, is there anybody for persons to be heard tonight?
No, Mr. Mayor, I have nobody signed up for persons to be heard.
Thank you. Is there any amendments to the agenda tonight?
Mr. Mayor, I don't have any amendments to the agenda, but since we have guests here this evening to speak on an item under new business, I'd like to offer that if the assembly has any questions on any of the items under the manager's report, that those wait until after that item, or we come back to that after the new business is done, if that's okay with the assembly.
I don't see any issue with that, so we'll hold our questions till after we have our speakers. Is there other amendments to the agenda?
Yes, Mayor, I have an amendment. I move to amend the agenda, item 13B, to broaden the discussion of COVID-19 and to include information on the recent uptick in positive cases in Alaska, and to invite the participation of state health officials. And I also move to switch item 13B with 13A.
Sounds good. Is there a second for the amendment?
I'll second it, David.
Seconded by David. Thank you, David. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. Poll vote, please, Kim.
So, Mr. Mayor, we don't require a vote on that. Just as long as there's no objections from the assembly on that, it's up to you. But procedural wise, we don't require a vote.
We don't require it. Let's not do it. All right, so we're going to amend that, and we are going to move 13B up to 13A under new business. And we will hold on questions for the borough manager's report until after that item, and we'll revisit the manager's report at that time. All right. Is there any conflict of interest? I'm not seeing anybody with their hand up, so I'm assuming there's none. The consent agenda, there is a motion.
I move to approve consent agenda as presented. Gilbert?
They moved.
Morrison seconded.
Morrison seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Corson?
Aye.
Morrison?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Pasanka?
Yes. That moves us on to the Borough Manager's Report. Lisa.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a very brief verbal report this evening. The first thing I would like to mention is that Representative Ortez sent a letter last week on behalf of Wrangell to the governor's office and to the Department of Transportation asking for a change in the ferry schedule so that it would be visiting Wrangell, since it is scheduled to only come once southbound in November, not at all in December, and then only once northbound in January. So I apologize that didn't get in the packet, but I will get that out to the assembly. But I wanted to thank Representative Ortez for representing Wrangell and coming to our defense regarding ferry service, for sure. I want to report to the assembly that we have hired two new staff members. Tom Weedor has accepted the position of Public Works Director and will be starting on November 16th. And Duke Mitchell has accepted the position of Building Maintenance Technician and actually started yesterday. And so I wanted to update you on those two positions. And we're in the final decision-making process regarding the mechanics position in Public Works. Just a quick update on trash, solid waste. So as the assembly is aware, we had a fire in our container once it came off the barge and was on land in Ketchikan a couple of weeks ago. Apparently, for AML, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And they, despite that being our first fire, but they have made some decisions with regard to transporting trash and have provided some ultimatum dates for Republic Services, who is the contractor with whom we have service. They have suggested that by November 1st, actually, all of the three communities still shipping loose trash have to have something in place in order to mitigate the potential for fires in open top containers with loose trash. We don't know yet what exactly that means. They have also said by June 1, we have to have a plan in place for compacted trash. That doesn't mean it has to be solved, but that the plan has to be in place. I got notification today from Republic Services that they would like to pull together a stakeholders meeting for Wrangell on Friday. So I will be participating in that meeting at 1 o'clock on Friday, and we'll be updating the assembly accordingly. I also need to do a brief thank you to some folks that are helping significantly with the Nolan Center. There are a number of projects going on. There's a huge shelving project going on in the gift shop. And I wanted to thank Scott at AML and Arrowhead, who helped transport the shelving units from the shop to the museum. And I also want to thank John Bania for his additional work on that shelving. I also want to thank John Bania for his work on the Wolf Mount project. We had a Wolf Mount donated by David Brown. Thank you so very much. And Mr. Bania is donating his time to create the case for that Wolf Mount. So we will have a brand new Wolf Mount in the museum. I also want to thank a number of people who are working on the brand new museum signage project. WCA and Bill Willard donated a huge cedar log for carving of this sign. Brett Woodbury helped by getting it ready and moving it to the Nolan Center. Samson Tug and Barge moved the log up on crates so it could be worked on location. And Denny Leake is donating his talents and carving to create the new sign. So I just want to give a huge thank you to our community for all coming together to do this project for the Nolan Center. And if anybody's still wondering what's going on with the whale bones, that project is still in the works, and we'll have an update in the future. But I just really wanted to thank all of those people who are donating their time and efforts for these projects at the Nolan Center. That's all I have for my verbal report, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And we'll hold questions till after Captain Spray's update. So moving on to Borough Clerk's file. Kim, what do you have for us tonight?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just wanted to remind the assembly and the other boards and commission members that we will be having the OMA and parliamentary training with the borough attorney via Zoom on November 12th. And I have sent out the information to the prospective boards and commissions so they can get that, the lead, the secretaries or lead people, so they can get that out to their boards. And I will update the assembly as it gets closer. And so you don't have to stick it on your calendar. I'll remind you. And other than that, I don't have anything.
Thank you, Kim. Yeah, if you'd send out a reminder, that will help everybody keep things straight. Appreciate it. Okay. Mayor and assembly meeting business. Does anybody have any things to discuss with the assembly? I'm not seeing any little blue hands, so I think we can move along. Mayor and assembly appointments. So we did have a few vacancies, and I'll just quickly go over. There is 3 Parks and Recreation Board vacancy, 1 Economic Development Committee vacancy, and 1 port. Nope, sorry, that's it. So Economic Development and 3 Parks and Rec, 1 until 10/21, and all the rest for Parks and Rec are till 10/20/22, and the Economic Development is till 10/20/23. So we've had 1 letter of interest from Joan Sargent. Kim, I can't remember, did she express interest in any specific position on the Parks and Recreation Board, or was it just general interest?
She did, Mr. Mayor. She requested the one for October 2021.
Okay. And already I'll point out that Ms. Sargent also volunteers on our Economic Development Committee as well, correct?
That is correct.
We really appreciate Joan stepping up again to help out. So with the Assembly's approval, I'd like to appoint Ms. Sargent to the Parks and Recreation Board expiring 10/2021. Does anybody want to dissent on that? I'm not seeing anyone, so they'll make that appointment. And if you'd let Ms. Sargent know that, I'd appreciate it. And then please re-advertise all of the other positions, Kim, when you get a chance.
Yes.
Okay. There's 1 Port Commission appointment, and I don't believe there was any letters for that.
Yes, there was. There was 1 from Franklin Rappel.
Sorry, I apologize. Right, Mr. Rappel. And I would like to make that appointment without any dissent from the assembly.
We actually need a motion and a second for that one.
Because it was an elected position, correct?
Yes. Okay.
So would someone like to make a motion for Mr. Rappel to be on the Port Commission? Go ahead, Ms. Morrison.
I would like to make a motion to appoint Frank Rappel to the Ports and Harbor Commission for I believe it's a 2-year term, isn't it?
It's a 1-year term.
It's a 1-year term? Okay, for the 1-year term.
Thank you. Second.
Second.
We'll give that one to Assemblymember Gilbert. Seconded. Discussion. Assemblymember Morrison, you have your hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't take it down. Excuse me.
No problem. All right. So any other discussion? Seeing none, poll vote, please, Kim.
Yes. Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yeah. Okay. Item number 11A. Proposed zoning change from multifamily residential to single family residential for lot 1, block 35, USS 1119. And this is a public hearing. I'll declare the public hearing open and ask, first of all, is there any administrative report, Lisa, on that?
Mr. Mayor, no, we believe it's self-explanatory. So if the assembly doesn't have any questions, Carol Rushmore is here to answer those.
Okay, we have during the public hearing, though, we'll just take any public testimony at this time. Is there any public testimony?
I have nobody that signed up to speak under this item.
Is there anyone on the line that would like to speak to this item? If you could please identify yourself. I'm not seeing anyone, Kim, so I am going to close the public hearing, and there's a recommended motion on page 161.
Rappel, move to approve a zone change from multifamily residential to single family residential for lot one, block 35, USS 1119.
We move. We have a second.
I'll second it, Morrison.
Motion second. Discussion.
Hey, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, go ahead, Assemblymember Powell.
Reading this, I had a person ask me today just to clarify that in single family, you could still put a like a duplex on it. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments or questions? I'm not seeing anything. Full vote, please, Kim.
Sure. Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Prasanka?
Yes.
Excuse me, Mayor Prasanka, I'm sorry.
Okay, I don't mind.
Demoted. Sorry.
Okay, number 12, unfinished business. There is none. Item 13, our new 13A is a discussion with an expanded scope regarding COVID-19 and specifically around large gatherings and the increasing cases that have been seen across the state. I'd like to turn it over to Captain Spray, unless City Manager Von Bargen has anything she'd like to open with herself.
No, Mr. Mayor, thank you. Please let Captain Spray introduce the guests we have with us tonight.
Thank you. Captain Spray, take her away.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly. On behalf of the EOC, we have reached out to the state community engagement team and asked them if they would brief the Assembly on just the current status within the state to discuss the outbreaks that are happening all over. Vaccine discussion, some upcoming changes to testing or the status of testing, current mandates, how the state can help support Wrangell, and also what we can do as far as large gatherings and just what the thoughts are there. So on the line, I believe are from the Unified Command, Brian Fisher, from DHSS, we have Eliza Muse, Director Paul Nelson, and I believe Commissioner Crum is with us. So I think I'm handing it over to the IC, Brian Fisher.
Thanks, Captain. And I hope you guys can hear me okay. I promise I'm not driving. I'm in my car, but I'm in a parking lot while my daughter is at a practice. But good afternoon or good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the Assembly. My name is Brian Fisher, and I'm one of the three incident commanders in the state's COVID-19 Unified Command. I represent the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs and the Division of Homeland Security Emergency Management. My co-incident commanders are from the Division of Public Health and the Alaska State Troopers. We have Commissioner Adam Crum from the Department of Health and Social Services. Paul Nelson is the director of my agency, Homeland Security and Emergency Management. And Eliza Muse is on detail to the COVID effort from the Office of Substance Misuse and Prevention. Like pretty much everybody in the health department is detailed to the COVID response now. I'm gonna go ahead and I think Commissioner Crum has dialed in on the telephone. That's probably his number that's showing up. So I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner, for some opening remarks.
Thank you very much. I appreciate Wrangell having us. I wanted to say just we are here to help. So we've started this community engagement team to make sure that we were connecting directly with elected officials, with EOCs, and with local health officials to make sure that something hadn't gotten caught in the wash, to make that any resource requests, any particular needs of the community are being met, and to make sure that we have open lines of communication and good follow through on our part. So we are here to assist. I know that there's a lot of questions going on about what the current case counts, and we'll have plenty of time to discuss that and answer questions. But we're just glad to be a part of this conversation, and I'll toss it to Director Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. Yeah, like Commissioner Crum said, we're really looking to try to, you know, fill in any gaps that communities may have by engaging directly with not only the Emergency Operations Center personnel in your communities, which seems from the feedback I'm hearing from around the state, that seems to be going fairly well. But we want to make sure that we don't leave out our elected officials. So Commissioner Crum put this ad hoc team together. And so far, we've been pretty busy and we're happy to do it. My position as the director of DHSCM, I have a great team led by Mr. Brian Fisher that's focused on the COVID response. But, you know, things continue to happen around the state, you know, floods, landslides, you know, we're getting into our winter storm season. So we're also addressing that and trying to keep the team on track. Also, as far as the COVID-19 response goes, I am the governor's authorized representative on the FEMA side for public assistance. So really, my team under the direction of Brian keeps me updated on everything that's going on so that I can make sure that all the money flows, right? Because it's all controlled by money. We want to make sure that we're above board. We can pass audits. And we can do all those things and we can get funding for all the needs of our community. So looking forward to answering any questions that you may have tonight. And if we can't get the answer, we'll definitely take copious notes and we will definitely get back with you and answer all your questions. So thank you all for having us at your meeting tonight. Appreciate it.
Well, I can chime in too. This is Eliza Muse. I'm happy to be here tonight, Mr. Mayor and members of the assembly. I had the opportunity earlier on this summer to work with some of you in regards to some of the port of entry and testing, airport testing strategies. So I recognize a few of the faces here. And again, just we're here to listen and to assist with connecting in terms of information. We know there's a lot of information out there and connecting any dots that might need to be connected here. And again, taking notes and here to listen. So thanks so much.
Thanks everybody. This is Brian Fisher again. And I did want to say, I want to kind of echo what Eliza said. I can't say enough about your Emergency Operations Center operation down there, both the captain and manager of Bargain. We have done quite a bit of work with both of them and the whole team down there over the summer. And Mr. Mayor, I know we were on a couple of calls about the travel mandate that we had put in place and getting the testing spun up. So just kind of overall with where we're at with COVID in the state, you know, it's pretty clear we're in a pretty significant acceleration phase at this point. Today we're reporting 381 new cases and unfortunately two new deaths. But for the last couple of weeks, we've been over 200 new cases a day, and just the last couple of days, kind of as expected, the case numbers have jumped even further. You know, the one day we were about 520, I think. So bad news is there is it's evident that there's pretty widespread community transmission across the state, and most regions of the state are in what we call the high alert level on our COVID-19 dashboard at covid19.alaska.gov. But the good news is you're one of the few areas in the entire state that isn't in that situation. And I mean, I really do think it's a testament to your residents, to you all on the with the assembly and with the borough government for how well you've done. I know it was a tough season this summer without cruise ships and without as much of the tourism that was coming through. But I think you guys have all done a great job in Southeast and Southern Southeast Alaska, and hope you're able to keep it that way. You know, unfortunately, we were doing really well with keeping the virus out of rural Alaska too until recently. And we have some very significant outbreaks in Western Alaska, Northern and Northwest Alaska, and Southwest Alaska that we're responding to right now. So I think, you know, in terms of kind of an outlook, you know, we're kind of all thinking on the health team that the end of this whole pandemic is really when we have a sufficient supply of vaccine available and distributed and utilized throughout the state and the nation, and that's still a ways off. So until that time comes, Really, those things that you all have been doing and that we all as residents have been doing in the state in terms of what we call non-pharmaceutical interventions, the whole social distancing and washing your hands and not touching your eyes and keeping your bubbles small and all that, as well as the overall community mitigation strategies that, that communities have been using around the state are really the tools that we have to keep the virus out of your community and to prevent it from becoming a large outbreak when it does show up in Wrangell or the area down there. So we are on the vaccine front, you know, we're very hopeful that we're gonna see some amount of vaccine by the end of the calendar year. We're working very closely with Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and our federal partners on that. We do know that once the vaccine does make it through all the FDA approvals and tests and all, that we're gonna get a limited amount to begin with. We're going to prioritize that initial amount that the federal government allocates to us for frontline healthcare workers. You know, it makes sense that they're the ones that are dealing with folks infected with the virus and sick from the front. So that's really going to be the first priority of when we get the whatever we get in terms of quantity for the first tranche of vaccine. And then from there, we're working with the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association. They're working with a federal committee that is looking at prioritization of the next rounds of vaccine to where they go for whether it's schools or congregate settings like nursing homes and assisted living facilities, other critical infrastructure workers, which, you know, the majority of your municipal workforce falls into that category somewhere. So we're continuing to refine those plans, waiting to get some additional guidance from the feds. And then we'll have some additional information out about kind of the priority of who's going to be able to receive the vaccine when we get it, and additional planning kind of at the local level with CERTS and other providers throughout the state and in Wrangell on, you know, just how we're going to get them the vaccine, how it needs to be stored, how it needs to be administered, how it needs to be tracked, the IT systems. We're working on all of those things right now. I can tell you, we are seeing in terms, our epidemiologists are saying in terms of this, the big outbreaks we're seeing and the widespread community transmission, it really isn't travel. That's not really the vector. It just unfortunately is by residents, you know, having really large or not having small social bubbles. They're going out to do things, they're recreating, they're going out to parties and other big social gatherings, you know, going out to bars and restaurants and the whole nine yards. And really now's the time as we're all kind of moving indoors as the weather's getting colder, that we all, unfortunately, you know, we need to continue to be extremely vigilant with, you know, taking care of ourselves and our families and trying to limit interaction as much as we can. And obviously wearing masks when that's not possible is certainly strongly encouraged and will continue to be. So at this point, you know, we know it's tough. I'm sure you're hearing from members of the public down there. We're hearing it from around the state. You know, people are sick and tired of COVID. They've got COVID fatigue. They're tired of being told what they should do and not do. But really, you know, as we're going into the front end of flu season, and, you know, we have other respiratory disease that affects us around the state, now's not the time to give up on all of those great things that everybody has been doing, and particularly in Wrangell, since you guys are experiencing hardly any cases. We're really encouraging the public to continue that great work that everybody's been doing until we can get that vaccine, you know, in the near future, hopefully. And with that, we did want to open it up. And Captain, if you had anything additional you'd like us to address, or certainly Mr. Mayor and the Assembly, available for any questions, and hopefully we can answer them for you this evening.
First of all, thank you so much to you, the team from the state, and back at you guys for all the assistance that you provided. I know Dorianne and Jamie are in constant communication, and they're reporting back to us. And we certainly don't feel like we're in this battle alone. So we really appreciate that, because it can feel a little bit lonely sometimes. So I know that Captain Spray has sent up requests for additional PPE that's come answered, and we appreciate all of the things that the state are doing. So thank you all for everything you're doing. Commissioner Crum, thank you for your leadership on this as well. And the things that I've sat in on are always really great. I don't always agree with some things, but that's the way life goes, right? But overall, I think it's going very well. I want to open it up for questions, but Dee Dee, I don't know if you have anything specific that you want to get out. We also have Dr. Prasanka on tonight, who's the medical director for Search here in our community. And I would encourage you, if she has any questions or if we have any sort of bed related questions, I guess, at the hospital, that sort of thing. But really want the assembly to have an opportunity to chat with you folks, because I know that some folks online get to talk to you regularly, but a lot of us don't. So. Dee Dee, do you want to add anything to that?
No, not at this time. I'd like to kind of summarize at the end after question and answer, if I could. But if Dr. Prasanka had or any of the assembly have any questions for the team?
You bet. I'm going to go to the city manager, Bob Bargan, first. Lisa, do you?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to defer to the assembly. I just put my hand up because I have some questions when sure. The assembly.
Done. Preemptive blue hand. They should have a special color for that. Assemblymember Gilbert.
Yes, thank you. I have several questions. First of all, is the state monitoring a flu vaccine? For instance, Wrangell got the flu vaccine, and I'm proud to say that many of our citizens took advantage of that through Search. But we did not get the high dose. Can you guys bust loose with some high dose vaccine for Wrangell?
Hi, this is Commissioner Crum. Yeah, actually for the state of Alaska, last check I had from epidemiology was that we are a higher percentage of Alaskans have received the flu vaccine than any time of a year prior. So that's a good thing. As far as the high dose goes, actually the state of Alaska is out of the high dose. That was most in demand around the country. And I know that as we get more in, we're taking notes on this, and we'll try to make sure we work with our vaccination team that you guys are on the list to get some. So I appreciate that comment.
Lynn, I see you came off, put your video on. Did you want to speak to that as well?
Yeah, I think that Wrangell had an enormous turnout for the free flu vaccination clinic that Search put on, and it was really successful. I know that they're still reaching out to schools and high-risk populations, and they've got not a free clinic, but a drive-in flu vaccine clinic, so that if you don't want to get out of your vehicle and go see a doctor, you can just go get your flu vaccine. So we are really making it hopefully as seamless as possible to get that vaccination, and we really appreciate the number of people, often unique people who don't normally get vaccinated or getting vaccinated this year, which makes us all safer, which is wonderful. I have just one question for the folks from the state. Could somebody perhaps summarize for us what the best thing we could do to prevent Wrangell becoming the next GVAC?
I'll take first crack at that one. In many conversations we've had with Ukonkuskwim Health Corporation, the city of Bethel, along with the Kuskokwim Corporation and a lot of in-region areas there, really I think when we can first find how this came about was a lot of people that had recently traveled, had been in and out, were not confident that they were COVID negative because they hadn't had their test results yet, with a lot of large family gatherings and interpersonal mingling. So one of the things, the lessons learned on that is if you do have individuals that travel, come in and out, go to hotspots, just to make sure that you have that negative test along with you if you're traveling from out of state. And then if you're coming from a higher area, just be aware of where you're at. In making sure that you're being conscientious of others. And we call it strict social distancing is one of the phrases that we use in Health Mandate 10 about interstate travel, which is avoiding high congregate, high traffic areas, you know, try and use alternative means for shopping, little things like that, just so you're not helping contribute to the spread in these small areas.
Thanks, Commissioner. Thanks, Dr. Pruszynka. I think, you know, some of the other things, and we're learning every single day, we had a pretty large one of our Zoom meetings today with rural clinic directors and rural healthcare providers, and then had another meeting with the Southwest region just before this one. And one of the things that they had found successful in responding to those outbreaks, not preventing them necessarily, but responding to them, was at the local level, at the community level, hiring some additional employees. And I think most of the communities out there are using CARES Act funding that they have. And they're calling them, quarantine employees, but they're not really, they're not there to enforce a quarantine. They're not there to, you know, put tape over people's doors and keep them, you know, keep them barred into their homes, but they're there to provide those services that that households may need when they are asked, you know, if they're issued a request or an order to isolate or quarantine. And so they're no longer, you know, necessarily able to go to the store and get groceries or go get their mail or get water delivered if that's to occur. So, you know, having some other additional municipal temporary workers hired to, you know, support that service delivery of those things to encourage folks to stay in their home. In the larger metropolitan areas, we are hearing some concerns that folks that are notified that they're positive or that they're in close contact just aren't interested in isolating or quarantining because they can't afford it. They can't stay out of work. And some other municipal temporary workers. Not sure what happened there. So we're looking at additional strategies kind of at the community level to be able to, you know, in the larger areas, you know, there may be some, you know, direct family assistance that's still needed to, you know, encourage people that we need to stay home to minimize the transmission to be able to do that, you know, especially folks that just don't have an employer that has a leave available for that. So those are some of the other issues that we're seeing around the state. And it's really not preventing the introduction of the virus. You know, as well as I do, it's, you know, it's a sneaky bug and people are asymptomatic carriers. So it's very, very difficult without, you know, absolutely rigid quarantine and testing, particularly for folks that are traveling, to catch it ahead of time. But once it does get into a community, really making sure that we're able to get the information out about positive test results and then doing everything that we can to have those folks that are positive stay at home and do the 10-day isolation or do the 14-day quarantine for a close contact is really what we're hearing around the rest of the state.
Hey, so Brian, this is Paul. Yeah, so if I could add on to that. So as Brian mentioned, we had a meeting earlier today and I was thinking about what we talked about during that meeting. You know, we spent so much time, as we should have, you know, focusing on our public messaging, you know, about the social distancing, all that kind of stuff, and what a lot of the communities now are, they're able to kind of hone in on that family, you know, transmission, you know, as Commissioner Crum said, you know, potentially one scenario is a recent traveler, and then it's not so much that they went out to go shopping, although that's still a way to spread it. It's that maybe not using the proper protocols when they're around their family, right? So we're getting family transmission, and especially in communities where we have very large families, you know. And now, as Brian mentioned, you know, we're moving inside because it's getting colder outside. The holidays are coming up, you know, and so we, you know, those families want to be together, right? We get all that, so. So all those things kind of add. So I think if we don't stop our public messaging for the things that we've been saying throughout the life of this virus, so to speak, but also maybe bolstering up your public messaging, you know, to include those aspects of it, you know, recent travel and, you know, the thought of keeping your family safe, you know, especially if you have to cohabitate, you don't really have a choice. I think that could something that really doesn't cost anything, but could potentially help you, because I believe your question was, how can we, you know, continue on this great path that we're on? Don't know if it'll work, but it certainly won't hurt.
I can also steal a metaphor that Dr. Zink has used the past couple of days. She really talked about reducing community spread in terms of speed bumps. So testing, mask wearing, keeping your bubble small are all these community mitigation strategies that serve as speed bumps so that we can prevent from going from zero to 60 in a really short period of time, given the fact that this is such a highly contagious virus. And then someone on the call yesterday said, well, we don't really have speed bumps in our community, but they're more like potholes. So, and she's also referred to them as these mitigation measures as Swiss cheese. So all of these strategies have holes. They're not, but when taken together, we can slow or prevent the spread. So I'm really enjoying all of her metaphors. So I thought I'd share a few with you today.
Thank you. I want to turn back to Assemblymember Gilbert. You said you had several questions and we only got through your first one. I apologize.
Oh, thank you. As you probably know, if we have a COVID positive in Wrangell and they require hospitalization, they're going to be medevaced out. So my question is, are you keeping close tabs on medevac services and hospital populations? I'm worried that as this thing progresses, medevac services may be limited and required elsewhere, and patients will have to be shipped from one hospital to another. And are you keeping track not only of hospital populations within the state, are you also keeping track outside the state in the Northwest?